The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So this week, today, I'd like to talk about some kind of practical aspects of working with mindfulness in our bodies and minds. So I'd like to start this morning by talking a little bit about paying attention to our bodies. As we work to bring our attention into our moment-to-moment experience, we often find, and many of you have been meditating for quite a while and know this very well, that as we bring our attention, try to bring our attention into the present moment, we find that our mind goes off. It goes off into the thoughts about the past, remembering, thinking about things that have happened to us, what people did, how we felt about it. We go off into the future, thinking about what we will do, how we can arrange our lives in the future, what we worry about. That's a big one for a lot of people, thinking about projecting into the future and fearing what will happen. And even if we're roughly in the present moment, a lot of the time we're actually thinking about what's happening in the present moment as opposed to actually experiencing what's happening in the present moment. And so bringing attention to the body is a very helpful support for grounding actually in what is happening, what actually is happening in the present moment. So it brings us into the present moment as we pay attention to our bodies. It supports letting go of this pull to the past, to the future, into thinking, into the thinking world. So for a lot of us, before we begin a practice of mindfulness, we live in our minds, we live in our thoughts, we live in a world that we create. And we're not so connected with what's actually happening in our bodies. It can be an unfamiliar realm for us to actually contact the felt world of our bodily experience. Gill often calls this the felt sense of experience. And so I'd like to talk today about a training that the Buddha offers in connecting with our physical felt sense of experience, particularly within the corporeal body, the bodily aspect, the touch aspect of our experience. He gives some instructions in the Satipatthana Sutta, which is the sutta on the four foundations of mindfulness. Within the four foundations of mindfulness, there are the foundation of paying attention to the body. So one foundation on the body, and then three foundations on paying attention to mental experience. Feeling, the nature of consciousness, what is happening in consciousness, and in all the contents of our minds. In the foundation on paying attention to the body, he offers a number of ways into exploring our bodily experience. And one way in particular that I've worked with has been extremely supportive for me and has been very helpful in contacting my actual experience. And so I'd like to explore that one with you today. It's called the Meditation on the Elements. And I'll read you a little section of this. It's not a very long section. A meditator reviews this same body, however it is placed, however disposed, as consisting of elements. Thus, in this body there are the earth element, the water element, the fire element, and the air element. So in this this teaching that he offers, he's bringing us into the elemental nature of our experience, looking at how our body is composed of earth, air, fire, and water. Now, this teaching around earth, air, fire, and water, I think it reflects the understanding of the elemental nature of experience of his day, the kind of physical understanding of the world composed of these elements. And so this was probably a teaching or an exploration of physicality that was within the context or within the milieu of the culture at the time. So it wouldn't have sounded so foreign to them to understand their experience in terms of these four elements. To us, it seems perhaps a little bit odd to think about things in terms of these four elements. So I'd like to describe a little bit about how we contact, how we experience these elements and these experiences as they're described, as I'm describing them, actually come from some of the commentaries, some of the Buddhist texts. So this is not something that I'm making up here in terms of the connection between our physical experience and these elements. This is how it was also understood in the time of the Buddha. So the element of earth is basically the sense of hardness in the body. So any place or feeling of hardness, of solidity, of roughness or smoothness, those qualities are related to earth. Any elemental experience around movement is related to air. So pressure, tingling, vibration, pulsing, pulling, pushing, those kinds of experiences are related to air. Fire is the temperature element, hot, cold, warm. That basic sense of heat and coolness. And then water has to do with fluidity, flowing. Any sense in the body of those kinds of qualities of flowing. So we'll explore this in a little exercise in a few minutes, these different qualities. Now, in exploring these qualities, there are obvious versions of these qualities in our experience and more subtle versions of these qualities in our experience. So, for instance, right now, you may be experiencing pressure on your buttocks from where you're sitting. That's that hardness quality, the quality of hardness that you're contacting, that's earth element. You may be noticing the movement of your breath, the movement that results from breathing in and out. That's a kind of an obvious manifestation of air. So there's kind of obvious levels of sensation that are kind of hard to miss. And then there can be subtler ones. So for instance, when I direct your attention to the sensation of your clothes touching your skin, the pressure, the sense of perhaps softness or roughness, smoothness, these are aspects of the elemental nature of our experience. And then perhaps even more subtly, you may sense more deeply inside your body. The earth element comprises the entirety of the body, internal and the surface of the body. And inside the body, there are sensations as well. So putting your attention in the inside of your throat, for example, you may feel pressure or contraction. You may notice the sensations of the breath as it goes past your throat. So Some of you may also, in the quietness of just sitting here, feel a sense of vibration through the body, of pulsing, of tingling. All of these point to the elemental nature of experience. Now, in this exploration, I have not particularly, in my own exploration, this found it helpful in the understanding or experiencing, okay, there's vibration, knowing the vibration, to think then, oh, that's air. Mostly just contacting the direct experience, vibration, vibration is happening, feeling the vibration, feeling into the vibration. Or pressure, hardness, the sense of hardness of your buttocks on the chair. It hasn't been so helpful for me to then think, oh, that's earth. But it is helpful to just recognize that pressure as pressure. The Satipatthana Sutta goes on a little bit to give an analogy here. And the Buddha says, just as though a skilled butcher or his apprentice had killed a cow and was seated at the crossroads with it cut up into pieces, so too a meditator reviews this same body as consisting of the elements. In this body there are the earth element, the fire element, the water element, and the air element. And the explanation of this analogy is that this relates to what the benefits are of exploring our experience in this way. That a butcher, in taking his cow to the barn, leading it to the barn, feeding it, perceives the cow as a cow. But when the butcher has cut it up into pieces and is sitting at the crossroads selling the meat, the butcher no longer thinks of this as, I am selling cow, or they're taking cow away. He thinks of it as, I'm selling meat. So it changes his perception to cut the body of the cow up into parts. And the Buddha is pointing us, and he uses these interesting analogies. I mean, it's kind of a violent analogy in ways, but in this way, too, we can see our experience as composed of simply elemental experience. And it supports our believing or interpreting this body as me, as mine. So it moves us in that direction to begin to explore our experience in this elemental way. So I'd like to do a little exercise with you. I'd like you to hold out your hand and close your eyes and put your attention in your hand. What experiences do you notice as you pay attention to the experience of your hand? You might notice tingling, pulsing, vibration, stiffness, creaking, hardness, coolness, warmth. Now I'd like you to make a fist, a tight fist, and notice the new sensations that appear with this tight fist. It's probably more of the earth quality, the hardness. There's probably tightness, maybe some burning, stiffness. Now I'd like you to release the tension in your fist, but don't open the fist. And what is the experience now? How has the experience changed? And now, as slowly as you can, really, really slowly, start to open your hand. And what do you notice here? You may really, the stiffness quality may be really heightened. The feeling almost of not being able to move the hand. Creaking as little bits of the hand actually move. Now open your hand quickly so you can open it. And keeping your attention in your hand now, again, what's the sensation now in your hand? Tingling, vibration. See if you can let go of the idea of the shape of your hand, of the edges of your hand. And just notice the experience. No need for the sensations to feel contained in the idea of the form. Okay, you can open your eyes. So this exploration around looking at our experience from this standpoint of the elemental nature of our experience begins to introduce us in a way to the language of our physical experience. As I became more and more familiar with these experiences, they became easier to recognize. So this familiarity supports our coming into the physicality of our body, recognizing what is actually happening in our body moment to moment. So this familiarity with our body, beginning to recognize what actually is physical experience. It supports our coming into the present moment, and it also supports our understanding or recognition of what is physical experience and what is mental experience. These two actually are so close. Our physical experience and our understanding of our physical experience, the mental response to our physical experience, can be so interwoven that we actually have trouble teasing them apart. So it's helpful to really begin to recognize what is the physicality of our experience so that we can begin to tease apart mental and physical. Now, coming into contact with the physicality of our experience, as the Buddha points out, supports our recognition that the body is composed of parts. It's not me, it's not mine, it's just earth, it's just fire, it's just air, it's just water. One friend of mine pointed out, our bodies are just fourth generation stardust. We are composed of the same thing that the entire universe is composed of. There's no difference. So beginning to come into that understanding supports our understanding of the body as just these elements, this process of elemental flow and change. And as we look at our mental experience and distinguish mental from physical, we also begin to really see the process nature of our experience, how physical experience impacts the mind, how the mind impacts physical experience. So we really start to see the interweaving of the two, mental processes and physical processes, simply as processes that are going on. again, supporting our movement towards understanding this being as a flux, a mental, physical flux. And not me, not mine, not who I am. So I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the ways in which mental experience and physical experience interact, and how we can begin to learn to tease them apart. So again, looking at this from the most obvious mental experience has to do with the kind of reactivity we may have about what's going on in our bodies and in our minds. We react not only to what's happening in our bodies, but also to what's happening in our minds. So we have some experience and we react to it. We get angry or irritated or hostile or afraid or bored, or we get a feeling of pride or vanity or worry or uncertainty or dullness or doubt. These experiences, these reactions are mental experiences. I hope that's pretty clear. That's usually pretty obvious. These experiences of emotional reactivity are within the realm of mental experience in the Buddhist framework of understanding mind and body. The mental realm in the Buddhist framework includes heart. There's not so much a distinction between heart and mind. So these reactions are in the realm of the mind, or the heart mind. We can call it the heart mind. Then at a subtler level than these obvious reactions that are mental, is a sense of liking and not liking. Often our experience of liking and not liking is what leads to the movement of the more gross reactive emotions. But we can like things and not like things without being terribly reactive around them. We can, yeah, I like that, but yeah, it's okay that it's there. I don't like that, but, you know, it's okay. So there's the liking and not liking. This is a subtler kind of mental experience, that as we come into contact with our bodily experience, we often quickly move to these reactions, the liking, the not liking, the emotional response. And then even subtler than the liking and not liking is the mental experience of whether something is pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. Now this, with respect to physical experience, this one can be harder to see as a mental phenomenon. We think, you know, just the contact of something on the skin, you know, the gentle rubbing of the, you know, skin like this, that maybe that feels a little pleasant, just this soft touch. And it's hard to see that as a mental experience. It seems so intertwined with the physical. But I'm going to give you an analogy or a story. And imagine yourself on a street corner in a busy city where you don't know anybody, and someone comes up to you and touches you on the shoulder. You might experience that as unpleasant, that contact. And now imagine you're on that same street corner, the same busy street corner, and you are expecting a friend to come to see you. And you feel the same touch on your shoulder. The first thought in your mind may be, that's my friend. And the sensation may be experienced not as unpleasant, but as pleasant. In this way, the pleasantness and unpleasantness of experience has to do with the conditions that we are in. Our mental conditions, our physical conditions, the conditions of our life up to this point, condition whether we experience something as pleasant or unpleasant. So, this is more of a teaching, in a sense, to hold lightly. You know, you don't have to try to see this the feeling of pleasant, unpleasant as a mental experience. But in recognizing pleasant and unpleasant, notice the difference between pleasant and unpleasant and the elemental nature of the experience. There's pressure. There's coolness. There's heat. There's vibration, tingling. There's a difference between that and the pleasant, unpleasant, neutral aspect of it. And that will slowly begin to point you to this mental, physical distinction between our physical experience of pleasant and unpleasant and our physical experience of the body itself. There's such a tight connection between the mind and the body, a very intimate feedback loop, that sometimes in our experience of the body, we don't see how the mind is getting involved. So one example from my own experience around this has to do with pain. So at one point a couple years ago, I had a frozen shoulder. There was a lot of painful sensation in the shoulder itself. But there was also a sense that the whole body kind of felt irritated. The entire body had this sense of bracing. It felt like a physical response to the physical injury, initially, as I looked at it. But then as I explored more deeply into the nature of this bracing experience, I found that was a result of a mental reaction. And that mental reaction, when seen, could let go, and then that feeling throughout the entire body released. So that this feedback between mind and body can get very subtle. So not necessarily assuming that whatever we're experiencing in the body is purely a physical phenomenon. There can be a mental component that feeds into it. And even more subtle, I'm trying to take you from the obvious to the subtle here. Even more subtle is the way in which we perceive our experience. Perception, recognition of what's happening to us is a mental experience. Our mind is kind of like this, it's kind of like a computer in a way, in that it has this part of the mind that processes experience and lines it up against things that we've experienced in the past and identifies it as being a thing, a man, a woman, blue, yellow, red, wall, carpet. There's a process by which we identify experience. The physicality comes in of meeting the world, and then the mind recognizes it. It perceives it. So this is the process of perception. And this functions so quickly in our minds that we often don't recognize it as a process that's happening. We just assume that we are seeing man, woman, wall, carpet. We immediately move from the bare experience of the data coming in, the raw data coming in, to the perception of what it is. Now, this is extremely useful. I'm not saying this is, you know, to be avoided. But it is a process that's going on in our experience that we often don't recognize as a process. And then we confuse or conflate or impute reality to something that's happening in our minds. And we think it's actually happening out there. So the easiest way to play with this, to begin to see the perceptual process happening, recognizing this perceptual process going on, at least in my experience, the easiest place to see this is in the experience of hearing. So we don't have any cars going by right now, but often in our meditation, there are sounds of cars or motorcycles going by as we're meditating. And when you hear that, there's the process of the hearing, there's the kind of the vibration on the eardrum that turns into the sound that we hear. There's pitch and tone. That's the raw data of the hearing, is that pitch and tone. And then the mind almost automatically will name it as something, car or motorcycle. And you may, in your meditation, when you're quiet, actually notice this process happening. Maybe sitting there, then there's the hearing, there's the sound, and then you may hear your mind go, car. You hear it actually, you hear the internal mind saying car. Or perhaps you may see an image of a car driving down the road. That's the process of perception, the mental process of recognizing our experience. In the guided meditation around the hand, I asked you to let go of the idea of hand. The hand is an idea. The experience is not the hand. So contacting experience in the body, a way you may notice this is if you're sitting here and you're feeling, for instance, something in your knee or in your foot. This takes, in my experience, it takes getting pretty quiet to see this because it's such, the bodily image that we have is so deeply ingrained. But you may notice as you sit there and pay attention to the experience happening in your knee that perhaps there's a very fuzzy image of your knee in your mind. Or perhaps a sense of location of where something is happening. There's a lot more to say about perception. That's just a beginning introduction to playing with this, recognizing it as a mental phenomenon separate from the physical experience that is linked with it. I have a couple more subtle ones. I'd like to leave some time, so I will open it up for comments right now or questions.
So next week I have a routine medical procedure to face, and I'm concerned about pain.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if you might say something about how one deals with pain.
That's a big topic. again, looking at pain, the experience of pain can be met with reactivity or with a balanced mind. The experience of pain itself is grounded in the fact that the body is experiencing unpleasant sensation. And the body is actually designed to do that. It's designed to experience unpleasantness when it's damaged. You know, if we cut ourselves with a knife, it's designed to produce pain so we know that there's something wrong. But we don't actually stop often with that, just that sense of there's unpleasant sensation. We don't like it. We want to get rid of it. We hate it. We are very averse to it. And that process creates a feedback loop, kind of like that feedback loop I talked about with that bracing. It creates this feedback loop where the pain felt gets intensified. We can have that sense of a physical intensification of the pain. And also there's a mental addition of painful experience because the not liking, the aversion, the fear is also unpleasant. And so there's a compounding of the whole situation. And so meeting pain is largely about learning to meet the reactivity that we have around pain. So that's a place that's challenging for us to meet that reactivity. The mindfulness encourages us to just recognize fear, to not flee from fear, and also to notice during the procedure, you might see if you can recognize when there is actual physical experience of pain and when there is the mental reaction. That separating of the two I find to be helpful in the working with pain. And just the simple recognition, I listed a lot of different ways in which mind and body are interacting, and just the simple recognition, oh, that's body, that's a bodily experience, and that's a mental experience. Just kind of dividing our experience in two like that can be very helpful when we're working with something like pain. Just recognizing, yep, okay, that's the physical side of it. We come into contact, I mean, I'm presuming you'll have some anesthesia of some sort, Novocaine or even general anesthesia. So, you know, coming into contact with what are you actually experiencing? I know, like, if I go to the dentist and get the Novocaine, it's mostly pressure and, you know, there's not any pain going on. There's just the pressure. And any sense of reactivity is in the mind. You know, there's the whole image of my body being torn apart and, you know, the blood coming out and, you know, whatever our minds do with it. You know, that reactivity, that's mental. And so to begin to distinguish those two supports our recognition of pain as not being as much in the body as it is in the mind. And as the mind recognizes that, it starts to see that it has more to say, that there's more ability for us to meet our mental experience and to choose how we respond over time, to be able to not be so reactive to our experience. So it's time to stop. Thank you for your attention.